Welcome to Nerd Stalker. I am Adolfo Ferranda at Nerd Stalker on Twitter with my buddy
Greg Blurry, aka Social Greg on Twitter for the Nerd Stalker Media Network. Wow, what a week.
Yeah, man. We got a fun one today. We got a fun one today. Me and Greg were cracking up right before this.
Let's get right into it.
This is just CEO apologizes after racist rant targeting Asian American family. Thanks to CBS Jeff Peggs for this story, although you will probably see this story everywhere. It's insane. So San Francisco Tech CEO of a company called Solid 8, which they so conveniently leave out in this particular article, but I'm going to keep saying Solid 8, cloud-based service, issued an apology this week after he was seen in a viral video yelling racial slurs and expletives at an Asian American family on the 4th of July. And personally, I would say that's an understatement of what this guy was doing. Raymond Arosa and his family were celebrating his wife's birthday at Bernardus Lodge and Spa's Lucia restaurant when Michael Lofthouse of Solid 8 can be seen on camera harassing them, saying, "F you Asians, go back to whatever effing Asian country you come from, and you don't belong here." This is in the United States, this guy's doing this, and let's remember, this guy is British. So the video begins with the woman who filmed the vulgar encounter asking Lofthouse, sitting one table over, to repeat what he had just said to them. He stares at the camera for a few seconds, then extends his middle finger and said, "This is what I say," and then flips him off. Lofthouse said, "Trump's gonna F you," and he stood up to leave, followed by, "You effing need to leave, you effing..." I just can go on. And then a server yells at him, "No, you don't talk to our guests like that, and get out of here." She was really emphatic about getting this piece of shit out of their restaurant. Arosa told CBS News that he thinks Lofthouse's apology is not sincere, you think? In a statement, the restaurant addressed the incident. So they go on to say, "It's an unfortunate incident, blah, blah, blah." The message to the tech company, Solid 8, where Lofthouse works and is CEO of, asking for a statement has not been returned, according to CBS San Francisco, and a message sent to an Instagram account apparently used by Lofthouse was not returned. In addition, his LinkedIn account appears to have been deleted and his Twitter account has been suspended. Since the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, there's also been a sharp rise in attacks on Asian Americans across the country, as me and Greg have talked about this too. What do you think about your buddy here, Michael Lofthouse, CEO of Solid 8 Technologies, Greg?
Oh my God. You know, it's interesting when I watch the news about this, and it's very rampant. You know, and it was rampant before Corona, and it's rampant now, right? But, you know, to see something like this in our backyard, in a way, brings it a little bit home to me.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
That, right? In California, in Silicon Valley. You know what I mean? We're supposed to be so woke and inclusive, and we don't need initiatives and things like that to make diverse companies, remember? Oh, and this is a CEO of a goddamn tech company, you know?
Yeah, this is so sad.
Solid 8 Technologies.
You know, it just makes me wonder now, what is the color of Silicon Valley? Let's just open that up, right?
What is
the color of Silicon Valley is what I'm going to kind of call this one out on. You know, Adolfo and I have been covering startups, him since 2006, 2007, me since 2010. When I was doing these things, I never really thought about that until just recently now. And I'm just like, you know, when you came up with the IDO story that we talked about a few weeks ago, and now all these other things that some of my friends have been encountering because they look Chinese.
We got to remember, man, the tech community too. The Asian community has been a backbone of the tech community in the Valley for, since the beginning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's insane that this guy even presumed or had the gumption to say any of this stuff.
Bizarre. I mean, the fact that, you know, he had a chance, right? He had a chance to not say anything in front of the camera, right?
He had a chance, right?
Remember we were reading that like, oh, you're being shy now. And then he lost it again, right? Right. He gave a command performance.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell this guy had a few to drink, but still to have the gumption of, you know what, F it. I'm a CEO of a Solid 8 Technologies of San Francisco. But you know what? I'm going to go into this Trump, you know, racist, Asian-hating rant regardless, because I feel confident this is going to work out, you know, because everything's worked out for me.
Yeah, it's the arrogance, right? I mean, we've seen that in a lot of CEO startups, right? Right? Arrogance against failing, arrogance against just a lot of things. I think that's the kryptonite of a lot of CEOs
Yeah.
of startups, right?
So you think these board of directors don't need to be diverse? And then you get a CEO like this? Yeah, I mean, come on. 1 + 1 = 2, guys.
Yeah,
You're gonna get this.
and after all, think about it, right? Think of what he did and the wide range applications just for a startup, right? Funding. You think
Oh, dude.
any VCs are going to touch this one from now
Solid.
on?
Yeah, good luck on their customer base too. Solid Technologies,
Yeah,
San
right.
Francisco.
And remember, you were looking up right before this, right? How many solid eight
Right.
names are out
Yeah.
there?
So on LinkedIn, we see like at least three of them. There's a Solid Consulting Limited, Management Consulting, Solid Technologies, South Africa, Solid Computer Software. Yeah, and then theirs is Solid in IT and Services, San Francisco, California. They got 465 followers on LinkedIn. They are a cloud transformation experts, is what they love to call themselves. So, but
I
yeah,
mean,
there's
there's
all
other
these
guys who had
Solidates.
those names. Now,
Oh,
do they
dude,
have to
I would change my
change?
name. Yeah, I would change it immediately. Solid 9, you know what I mean? God, Solid
Solid
7.
seven.
Yeah,
Solid seven point
anything.
five.
Or just solid, you know what I mean? We're solid. And the irony too is this guy's an immigrant. He's from the UK. So
Just
Solid
ignorant.
Technologies, do something about this, please. I mean,
Yeah,
respond
now.
and get rid of this piece of shit.
Micromobility. We've kind of touched on this on other ones, like back 2015, when some of these really alternative modes of transportation in urban landscape came up. And in fact, you adopted that when you were working downtown, right?
Right?
CB
Love it.
Insights, great market research firm, great technology market research firm. They have this new report called The Micromobility Revolution: How Bikes and Scooters Are Shaking Up Urban Transport Worldwide. And we've seen this, right, being in San Francisco, but they say that micromobility startups have struggled with profitability issues, which have been exacerbated by COVID-19. But these startups could see a post-pandemic rebound. We dive into micromobility looks around the world, leaders across space, and obstacles that these transportation solutions are facing. What they go on to say is, as congestion in city rises, existing transportation from cars to buses to trains can no longer keep up with the growing population. Now, when cities are pressed to solve transportation crisis among rising concerns around gas-powered emissions, micromobility startups are emerging as a powerful alternative to the current public transit mix, if you think about it, right? Especially in this COVID-19 crisis. I could go into this. You guys could read a lot more about it in their report, but I started thinking about that in terms of, will I ever take a bus again? I don't know.
You know, it's amazing. Me and my wife were watching a movie last night on like an artist in New York and the romanticism of the subway, right? I mean, he would go in on the subway and sketch, and it was packed. And I remember getting on subways in New York too, and how essential they were just to get everywhere. I mean, it's a critical mode of transportation in Manhattan, right? In San Francisco as well, we have BART and the bus as well, right? Which is really critical. These things have filled the gap also, and they've become, I don't know about essential, but they're a great option. I still see them. I still see scooters around San Francisco. I still see these bike rental availability in San Francisco.
And then you had for a little bit, right? You had a small transport thing
Yeah,
that just couldn't
I
climb
was an early
hills.
adopter. I was a
Yeah.
very early adopter in electric scooters way back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was a big believer in it, and so it was amazing to see. It was kind of a no-brainer to see this uber effect of these things. But as you said, I think what I'm going to see and what we're continuing to see right now is a lot of M&A, merger and acquisitions, right? Because there's Bird, there's all these different sort of solutions, and the bike rentals as well. And now is the time for consolidation, and that we're seeing that, right? We're seeing that with the food delivery service with Uber and that type of thing. And I suspect we're going to see a definitely consolidation in this space as well. Just it's a no-brainer because yeah, as means Greg have spoke to before, we're not sure about how many people are going into the city or are going to stay in the city. A lot of people are leaving the cities for cheaper places now that you can work remotely, but also you do have to go into some cities still to work. And the prediction is that some people will go back in, but what percentage? So, I mean, that's going to affect the customer base of this type of option as well. So, a lot of things to think about.
Catch the article that we're going to be sharing on this link. They had a great infographic. So they said distance in football field laps per kilowatt hour. So a gas vehicle, 3 laps, electric vehicle, 17 laps, e-scooter, 333 laps. And so efficiency is really the name of the game here. And micromobility, it's, I just need to get to a place. I don't care how I get there almost, right? So
Super efficient.
interesting.
Thanks to CNET's Aaron Carson for this story. Elon Musk says a Neuralink update is coming in August. Musk will have an update about his brain-computer device Neuralink. Elon Musk has an update about an update. Musk said Thursday on Twitter to expect a progress update on Neuralink, his startup that's trying to create a link between brains and computers, on August 28th. The aim of the device is to help those with brain and spinal cord injuries or congenital defects. Progress update August 28th from Elon Musk. In July 2019, Musk said the company had tried the device on a monkey, and the monkey was able to control a computer with its brain. He also said he'd hoped to have it in a human patient by the end of the year. So I'm particularly interested in this technology. I know there are conspiracy theorists who are really afraid that they're going to have this in here, and then you're going to be like Manchurian Candidate, that you'll be able to be controlled. There are a lot of facets of this technology and things to consider here, right? So he was on Joe Rogan recently, or it's a very minor type of surgery that doesn't go really deep in the brain. It's a very shallow surface type of implant in a way. And it's been claimed that he claimed that you can do all kinds of things. It'll improve the vision of people, to have even increased vision. People that are actually severed vision, essentially blind, will be able to see again, and were one of the claims. All these different things and potentials of brain input, perhaps faster thinking, overclocking the brain in some kind of way, I don't know. But there's been a lot of this type of talk about this technology. Another facet to sort of be aware of is obviously who gets it first. So as any new technology comes out, new technology is always expensive at first, right? Until it hits critical mass and gets cheaper. One of the concerns is, in terms of like being able to be quote-unquote superhuman in a way of this type of thing, better vision, better hearing, better etc., is that the rich will be in sort of an Elysium situation where they have the advantage for quite some time and perhaps get a very too far ahead of the normals, right? And then maybe that gap won't be able to be closed, so to speak. So there's a lot of concerns with this kind of stuff, not to mention just the medical concerns as well. So it's a really fascinating story. It seems like a tidal wave that we just can't, it's going to come one way or another, if it's from Elon Musk or not. How do we manage this? So it's a really fascinating conversation.
I didn't probably tell you this, but I was part of an interview, of a quadriplegic that had basically implants in his head for control. Yeah. And he was actually able to write emails back to us. He said, the problem is, Greg, is that it's very fatiguing. And we're going to go into user interface in one of the tips in there. But he said, it's just very fatiguing because I have to be in the right mindset, he was saying. I mean, it was really fascinating. And so, we're just at the tip of this. It's great for the people who are definitely disadvantaged by technology,
yes,
right?
Yes,
right?
I would think so. Yeah, like the paraplegic or whatever, if you can get them, and people who are unable to walk again eventually too. Yeah, we should not underscore the importance of that medical part as well. We are in the very early stages of this thing. I mean, there was a time when we had to do computer programming on punch cards, right? And then the secretary had to do that kind of stuff. Someone gives it over to like someone else to put it into this reader type of thing, and then it goes on these giant reel-to-reel tapes. We seem to be sort of in that, if not a little bit past that sort of section now, depending on the goal of what this particular thing is supposed to do at this point. But it's the rate of acceleration and improvement in technologies nowadays is like hockey stick crazy. So I would expect orders of magnitude improvement in this thing in terms of iterations in no time, especially under Elon Musk. My God, this dude is a taskmaster. So yeah.
Thanks to MIT technology guru Tanya Basu, a Microsoft solution to Zoom fatigue is to trick your brain. I don't know, when it gets to a grid of people, I know it gets fatiguing. I only could do 2 Zoom calls a day. I mean, other people could probably do more, but with a grid of people, I only could do 2. Mm-hmm. So Microsoft came up with this thing called Together Mode, which I found out it actually launched. So the Together Mode, what it does is it takes you and cuts out each of you in the meeting and places you in a scene. Yeah. So it would be basically, you, me, and someone else in a conference room, scene, and we're able to naturally look at that. I think one of the claims for Zoom fatigue, as they call it, is that just like my face right now, there's
Yeah.
no way in a meeting you're gonna be up that close to
Right,
me.
sure.
Right.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
that's what they're claiming is fatiguing. So, good on Microsoft, matching up to Zoom's game here. And maybe we should do one of our next
Try
ones
it sometime.
on Microsoft. Yeah, let's do
Yeah,
that.
on Teams, if we got to get
Yeah.
Teams. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
let's do
interesting.
that.
I saw the two scenarios of this I've seen is that they have you, like Greg said, in conference room. You're around a table. You're sitting around a table. And then there was another one too where you're sitting in like an auditorium. So you're all sort of in this auditorium thing. Yeah, how trippy is that, right? To
Yeah, well,
see each other in this auditorium thing and we're like talking. And one of the arguments, like you said, is you can see other people's facial gestures and responses to your type of what you're saying. In a more sort of natural, type of element, so you can get that sort of unspoken type of, communication as well. Daily News. Thank you, Daily News. The feds give Ghislaine Maxwell paper clothes due to fear she might kill herself, by Stephen Rex Brown, the author from New York Daily News. So thanks for this story. Federal officials have implemented special protocols for Ghislaine Maxwell while she's behind bars, including giving her paper clothes so she doesn't suffer the same fate as the man she allegedly enabled, that being Jeffrey Epstein, scumbag. The measures at MDC Brooklyn highlight the importance of the Maxwell case at the highest levels of the Bureau of Prisons and Justice Department. The feds took away Maxwell's clothes and bed sheets once she was in custody, and an official familiar with the matter told the Associated Press. She's sporting paper attire while in custody, according to the official. In addition, federal officials outside of the troubled Bureau of Prisons are tasked with specifically monitoring Maxwell to ensure she is safe and that proper protocols are being followed. The protection, according to the official, is in case she harms herself and in case other inmates wish to harm her, given that she's embroiled in a pedophile scheme here. Other protocols include ensuring that she has a roommate in her cell, which is considered a vital move to prevent an inmate from killing herself. Maxwell is also supposed to have someone with her at all times while behind bars. Many of those measures were absent when Epstein, quote unquote, hanged himself at MCC in Lower Manhattan last year. Barr said a perfect storm of screw-ups allowed the suicide to occur. Two correctional officers have pleaded not guilty to falsifying records and sleeping on the job the night Epstein allegedly killed himself. Epstein's quote unquote suicide only highlighted the ongoing dysfunction of the Bureau of Prisons, which is badly understaffed, overworked, or coping with major coronavirus outbreaks at facilities around the country. A hearing on whether Maxwell will be granted bail is scheduled for Tuesday, which would be insane. She is accused of enticing underage girls, let's call them children, to travel for sex in the mid-1990s. Prosecutors said she set a trap to lure underage children into Epstein's sex abuse scheme. Maxwell also allegedly participated in some of the sexual abuse, and of course she denied all wrongdoing. So she is a super duper scumbag. Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself, so everyone's predicting that she's going to get suicided like Jeffrey Epstein did. There's been talk that she basically allowed herself to get arrested and that there was some sort of pre-condition deal as well. I know that there's Alan Dershowitz has made a motion to try to suppress all evidence from ever coming out because of other people like Prince Andrew, Bill Clinton being in these pictures, and allegedly there's some videotape of other Ehud Barak, who was a prime minister of Israel as well, being entitled in this thing. So some very important heavy hitters possibly involved in this, and this is the elites going after the elites. Very crazy stuff.
Speed round.
Speed round. All right, thanks to Boing Boing's Mark Fraunfelder for this story. In an ominous sign for the economy, 32% of U.S. fell short in July housing payments. So one-third of U.S. households failed to make a housing payment in the month of July, according to a survey by online rental platform Apartment List. From CNBC, about 19% of Americans made no housing payment at all during the first week of the month, and 13% paid only a portion of their rent or mortgage. That's the fourth month in a row that a historically high number of households were unable to pay their housing bill on time and in full. up from 30% in June and 31% in May. Renters, low-income, and younger households were most likely to miss their payments. Just another thing to keep an eye on because it's a concerning trend and something that I just want to highlight because the economy has been my biggest concern thus far due to these closures and the coronavirus impact on all of us around the world.
What the hell is AV1F? Chrome and Firefox is getting that support. So you guys are familiar with PNG, JPEG, all that stuff. Well, yeah. There's a new lighter format and royally free AVI1F image format is coming to web browsers near you. Work is almost complete on adding AV1F support to Google Chrome and Firefox. And thanks to ZDNet's Catalin Simpanu for this. Short history of AV1F stands for AV1 image file format. So, you know, I hope they get the extensions right because we have AVI for
yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
So anyway, this was started as a collaboration between Google, Cisco, and ZIF.org, which also worked with Mozilla. At the time, the three decided to pool their respective in-house video codecs to create a new one, AV1, that they offer as open source and royalty-free alternative to commercial video codecs that have fragmented and clogged video streaming market in the late 2000s and early 2010s. You know, welcome AV1F.
Thanks to Boing Boing again, Carla Sinclair. Baseball Stadium invites dancing robots to mask eerie emptiness during game. To distract from an eerie empty stadium, the Japanese baseball team, Fukua, you gotta help me there, Greg, SoftBank Hawks, brought in more than... Fukova? All right.
Fukuoka.
All right, we'll go with all that. Right, Hawks brought in more than 20 robots to liven up the otherwise dead atmosphere when they played against the Rakuten Eagles. But the robots only made their game eerier for some fans, while they delighted others. So from Japan Today, fans on social media had mixed reactions. Quote, I think this is like a dystopia, quote, wrote one Twitter user. Another called the performance insanely beautiful. Boosted by the support of robots, the Hawks won 4-3 as they looked to defend their 2019 NPB title. Of course, the stadium is empty because of the coronavirus fears. Baseball fans in Japan haven't been permitted to watch games live, but that will change tomorrow, according to Japan Today, when professional baseball games will start letting in up to 5,000 people to watch. Awesome video. We will include that on the post, on the blog post. It's really cool. It's a very surreal, I should say.
I will wear my SoftBank's hat next time. Thank you. So anyway. Giants commit to cardboard cutouts instead of fans for the 2020 season. Thanks to NBC Bay Area and SF Gate for this. Ever wanted to sit next to a famous San Francisco Giant alumni or celebrity at Oracle Park, which is our local baseball season, just for people who are not from the San Francisco Bay Area? Well, here's your chance, at least your cutouts chance, to snuggle up to some famous fans during this season, during game days. Because of the COVID-19 coronavirus, none of the Giants' home games at Oracle Park will play in front of live fans, as you know, for health and safety reasons. So instead, the team announced a fan cutout program that will allow a photo cutout of you to be placed inside the seat inside the stadiums, and you can still root for Giants during their condensed 60-game season. Now, this is just for, I think it's offered first to season ticket holders.
Season tickets holders, yeah.
Yeah, the program is available for free for all season ticket holders, yeah. But for everyone else, you get a cutout for $99.
So the first new, quote, The Far Side, unquote, cartoons from Gary Larson since 1995. So Gary Larson's back. I'm a huge fan of The Far Side and have been. So yeah, you guys got to check it out. This is a tip to go to thefarside.com and check out because Gary Larson is updating all kinds of new stuff here. New Far Side cartoons finally that are posted there. It's about Gary Larson, The Far Side, and its official online home. Welcome to thefarside.com is what he's saying. The first official online home for The Far Side. Created by Gary Larson, the single panel cartoon ran daily in newspapers from 1980 to 95. In those 15 years, The Far Side went from gathering controversy to becoming one of the most beloved cartoons of its time. Until now, it has never been offered online. We encourage you to read Gary's letter to find out why. Yes, he is definitely still alive. The Far Side offers a deep dive into Gary's offbeat sense of humor with The Daily Dose. An ever-changing random selection of cartoons, comic collections, offer a different themed collection of his classic cartoons updated weekly. You'll find exclusive, never-seen-before extras as such as sketches straight from Gary's personal sketchbooks. And finally, beginning in 2020 and commemorating the 40th anniversary of The Far Side, we will periodically unveil new work by the man himself. In truth, we really have no idea what might show up, but on the other hand, what's changed? So check it out, you guys, thefarside.com.
Seven tips to make the web more readable on your iPhone. Thanks to How2Geek, Tim Brooks, for this. Sometimes there are websites that are just not mobile friendly, right? So this only works with Safari, but if you want to make it more readable, you could use Safari's reader view, which they'll show you how to this. And it just makes things a lot more, a little bit readable, larger, I guess, if you want to call it. But unfortunately, Google Chrome does not offer this reader view. So check out reader view. I think that will help some of these websites as you're surfing for something. And let's face it, some of the restaurants we're all serving for are not mobile friendly. So
good point.
It might be a good thing when you're out and about and trying to find a takeout or something like that, or you're getting tired of, you know, eating your home cooked meals. There's something
great
to do.
Great point. All right, you guys, thanks so much. Fun show today. I'm Adolfo Ferranda at NerdStalker on Twitter. Check us out, NerdStalker.com, NerdStalker TV on YouTube, and all the places. Please subscribe, hit the bell on YouTube, give us thumbs up, and give us a nice review on your podcast review place of choice. And Greg, where can we get more information about you?
You can email me at socialgray@nerdstalker.com if you have any tips, advice, or comments. Or you can just respond to me on at socialgray on Twitter.
See you next week, guys.
Be careful out there.